Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is good to be in church this morning. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to be here, and today we're going to do the rest of the story. The last 3 weeks we've been talking about Revelations, the end times. If you haven't been here, you can check out the messages on Facebook. Not Facebook. Well, I guess you could. You can check out the messages on our webpage. And the first week, we started this 3 weeks ago, and the first week we talked about what time is it? Are we in the end times? Are we close to Jesus returning? And the answer to that question is, we believe we are, but every generation has thought that they were, right? But the thing is one thing we need to remember is that even though every generation has thought that they are in the end times, this is the first generation where all the prophecies of the Word have come to pass. So everything that the Word of God says needs to happen or is supposed to happen has happened. And so we are the only generation that can say that. And so if we say, are we in the end times, you know, like we've said that first week, if we're in the end times or we're in our end times, these are our last days, right? This is the only life we have. The Bible says your life is but a vapor. It's very short. And so whether it's the end times, right, it's my end time. These are my last days. These are the only days. And we've said this every time. I don't know what today is. Today is the 26th. This is the last October. Can you believe it's October 26th? Wow, this is the last October 26, 2014 you will ever have. And so we need to always be mindful that Jesus could return any time, but be mindful that this is my life. God put me here to live life on this earth and to accomplish what he expects me to do. And so these are my last days. And then the second week of our series, we're going through the whole book of Revelations, and we went through chapters 1 through 3, and that's really where it's talking about the church age. It's not prophetic. It's talking about what's going on right here, right now. We are living in that time, and we talked about the seven letters to the seven churches, and we just looked at each one and the instruction and the correction that God gave to each church. And really, you know, people are always like, well, what church do you think the Church of America is? But the truth of the matter is, and when we studied out all seven letters, we really saw that you could find yourself in every letter. You could find correction for yourself, a straighten-up message, I would call it, in every letter. Because the letters were instructing the churches. They're saying, hey, you know, you guys are doing great, but this thing, you need to work on this. One was, you know, the people were too busy with what's going on in the world. Well, how many can say that you've probably done that too, right? Another was that, you know, you had tolerated sin. Well, how many know we've probably all tolerated probably more sin than we should have? So we can find ourselves in every church. And then last week, we talked about the tribulation and what's going to happen at that time. And so today, we're going to do what Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. You guys ready for that? And so turn over to Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to talk today mostly about, we talked last week, and we ended when the enemy, remember, he had gotten everybody together. He had called in warriors from every nation. People had come, millions of people had come, and they met in the Valley of Armageddon. And he had convinced the people that were still left on the earth, those that inexplicably had not received Jesus, had not accepted him, and he got all those people together, and he had convinced them that they could fight God. If anybody tries to tell you that you can fight God, that you can go against him and come out good on the other side, you run. Run as fast as you can, because that person is crazy. Because that's just not even possible. And so it's not in one of your scriptures, but really, you know, the enemy had gotten everybody from all the different nations. They had come, and they're going to fight. They were all pumped up. And the Bible says, the Lord came down, and that was it. It didn't talk about this huge battle. It didn't talk about this huge fight, because there wasn't one. Because when Jesus is on the scene, Jesus is on the scene, right? And so that takes us here to Revelation chapter 20, and it says, verse number 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down out of heaven." Remember, this is John writing, and he's writing what Jesus is showing him is going to happen. "And I saw an angel come down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hands a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And so that's what happened. You know, the serpent, he gives you all his names here. He says, "I seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan." So if there's any confusion about who he sees, he's saying he's the devil, he's Satan, he's the serpent, he's the dragon. That's about it. He's saying if there's any, John's making sure there's no confusion, that we understand the devil has been seized. He's been seized. And so it says he bound him for 1,000 years. Now we talked a little bit about this on the first day. Revelations is a difficult book to understand. And if you have clarity on it, praise the Lord, you should probably be up here preaching it. But Revelations, because there's so many scholars and biblical theologians, and they all know all kind of stuff, and they all have something different to say. And so, you know, the thing we need to do is just go by the Word. The Bible says, you know, that we should understand the Word. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. He's going to show us things, and so the Holy Ghost will help us understand. But why he's only bound for 1,000 years, and then the Bible says, and then God lets him out for a season, why that happens, I really don't know. But people who study this, and they've made it their life, which is not me, I've said from the beginning, I'm not a Revelation scholar. It's not my strength. It's not my, you know, if I'm going to read a book, you know, some people when they go to the bookstore and they look and they're like, you know, it's all end times. Oh, yeah, that's what I want. I want to read all about end times and all their books in their library about end times. I have about 4 books in my library on end times. One of them I've never even read, to be honest with you. It's just not my thing. But I do believe the Lord instructed me to become. Of course, I've taken classes on it in college, things like that. Of course, you have to. You don't have a choice. If I would have had a choice, I probably would have not done it. And you know, but that's just me. But then there's other people that they live their lives to study it. So those people I've gotten a lot of information from in these last few weeks. And so some scholars believe that the reason that the enemy is let out after 1,000 years is because there will be people on the earth. And that 1,000 years is what scholars call the millennium age. The millennium age. Now some people believe we're in it now. I don't believe that, because I believe the Bible doesn't teach that. But, so, they say that that's the millennium age, 1,000 years, and the reason why the enemy is let out, some scholars believe, you study it, you ask Holy Ghost what he shows you, some people believe that it's because there will be people that are born on the earth during that time, and they need the opportunity to choose Jesus, just like you have the opportunity to choose either the world's way or God's way. And so some people believe that that's why he'll be let out after 1,000 years. I don't know. All I know this. As a believer, I'm not going to be here for the tribulation. I believe the Bible teaches that very clearly. We learned that in our very first week. In chapters 1-3, the Bible talks all about the church. In Revelations, the word church is mentioned 23 times. After the Bible says that Jesus comes, we are caught up, you never hear the word church again. And I believe that's because we're not here. Plus, we know that Thessalonians says that God has not ordained his church to suffer wrath. And so I believe that he is going to take his church up before the tribulation comes. Somebody say, hallelujah, right? Amen. And so anyway, so here we are. And so the enemy, he's been locked up he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. And then look at Revelations 20, verse 11 through 15. I don't think I put these on your notes, so let's just read them together. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. See how important it is that we reach out to people, make sure their names are written in the book of life. Amen? When you get born again, the Bible says that your name is written in the book of life. And so John's saying is what he saw after the serpent and the enemy was locked up for 1,000 years, what he saw was a great throne. And then every person, great and small, every single person who had died, who was there, stood before that throne and was judged based on what they had done. What they had done. And then the Bible says that death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. This second death, you don't want to get caught up in this second death. This is eternal. How long is eternal? Forever. It is forever, let's say, and ever, and ever, and ever, and we can just sit here and say ever. That's how long forever is. And it's that second death, because whoever name is not written in the book of life, whoever hasn't received Jesus, the Bible says that they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And, you know, that's not God's will. That's not what God wants, because we learned that through the tribulation, even after Jesus had come and taken his church, still, God's mercy is so evident in the book of Revelation. And I'll be honest with you, when I was taught the book of Revelation the first time as a young person, I did not hear that. I did not hear anything like that. But when I studied the book of Revelation as an adult, as a person who understands the word in a greater way, I see God's mercy, because now we see the mercy of God. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance, to the presence of God. That's God's will. He's not willing that any should perish. So the next time you're looking at somebody and thinking they don't deserve Jesus, they don't deserve heaven, they should just rot in hell. You know, sometimes we find ourselves thinking thoughts like that. That's not how God thinks. God's not willing that any should perish. His love and his mercy extends to everyone. And then we see in the book of Revelations, in the tribulation, where there are the three judgments. We see, and they just get progressively worse. It gets all the way down to the bowls of wrath. I mean, it's just bad. We looked at that last week. But even in those times, there's still opportunity to turn to Jesus. There's still opportunity. His hand of mercy is always reaching out. Always. And do you know that by the time this happens, these people have heard the word of God, they've heard the message of God, they've seen. I believe that God, this is my personal conviction. My personal conviction. You take it, you leave it, you do what you want with it. It's my personal conviction that we serve a God of last chance. That we serve a God whose mercy endures forever. I believe we see that with Jesus on the cross. When he looked to his right, he looked to his left, and there were two criminals there. But even in that moment when he's suffering an agonizing death, he still takes one of them with him. They both could have come, but only one cried out, "Lord." And what did he say to that thief? He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." I believe that just like it was that man's last chance, that God gives everybody a last chance. Maybe you're used by God as a last chance. Maybe you're the one that God uses to give somebody a last chance, to remind them, hey, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. Do you know Jesus? Or by the love that you bring out. God is a God of last chance. We see that from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. He is a God of mercy. And he loves people. And it wounds, it breaks his heart, I know, for people to not choose him. Hell was not made for people. It wasn't God's plan. But when people turn from him and refuse his way, that's what happens. And that's real. That's a real thing. And that's why it's so important that we reach out and say, hey, let me love you like Jesus does. Amen? Not with judgment and condemnation, but with love and kindness, right? All right, let's keep going. And so today, we've gotten here, and so we're ending up. This is the rest of the story. And today I want to talk about heaven. Somebody say, woohoo! You know, it's funny, I was actually with a minister friend of mine, and they were having an extremely difficult time, and they were standing there, and they were doing this. And I go, what are you doing? And they said, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready because I can't wait until Jesus comes back. I can't wait to be caught up in the air with him. And they were like, I'm just getting ready. I'm just, you know, if it's right now, you know. And it's just funny because they were just so looking forward to heaven. But the truth of the matter is a lot of Christians have a misunderstanding of what heaven is. And if you're honest, you're really hoping that Jesus doesn't come back in your lifetime because you think you have it so good here. That's the truth, especially with young people. A lot of young people don't want Jesus to return because they don't want to miss out on anything in life. I hear, oh, I don't want Jesus to come until I get my driver's license. I don't want Jesus to come until I get married. I want to have sex before I go to heaven. I don't want Jesus to come before I have kids. I want to have kids before I go to heaven. I mean, you know, I've heard it all, right? And I've thought it myself. And so the thing is, when we have that kind of thinking, it shows we have a very, very limited view of what heaven is really like. Some people think that heaven is going to be that we're going to be fat babies, right? We're going to be fat babies, and we're going to sit on clouds, and we're going to eat chocolate or whatever, and that's all. And we're going to get a harp, right? We're going to get a harp, and we're going to wear a white robe, and we're probably going to sing in the choir, you know, right? But I don't know for you, but that sounds more like hell, right? That does not sound like heaven. That doesn't sound good to me. But that is not what heaven is. And so we're going to look and we're going to see the rest of the story. What's going to happen to us? And so over here in Revelation 21, we're going all the way through. Verse number 1, let's look there. And it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, if anybody knows geography, you know, before the Ice Age, that all of the continents were hooked together. And, you know, a lot of people say that if you take them, they hook together like a puzzle because they were all at one time one mass at one time. And you know what? The Bible says there's no more sea. It's going to be removed, and all the land masses are going to come back together. That's the new earth. And so when we look here, we're going to say, this is what I want to know about heaven. And we got to get this through our heads. Even as believers, a lot of people don't realize that heaven is a real place. It's real. It's not a figment. It's not a metaphor. It's not an illustration. It is a real place. And we see that in the Bible. In Revelation 21:14, it says this. The city was laid out like a square. As long as it was wide, he measured, talking about heaven, he measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and as high as it is long. 12,000 stadia, according to scholars, is 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles. And so he's saying, so a lot of scholars believe that heaven is either going to be a cube. How many, does that remind you of Star Trek? Anyone else? Right? Okay, that's just me. Is either going to be a cube, or many people believe it's going to be a pyramid. Somebody say, woo, pyramid, right? It's going to be a pyramid. But I believe this is such a random number. I believe God put this in the Word so that we'll know this is a real place. It can be measured. This is so real, it can be measured. How many can look on your phone right now and see how far it is to Palm Beach Gardens? Why? Because it's a real place and it can be measured. And so John is telling this. He said he measured the city. Heaven is a real place. And when you read about heaven in the Word of God, you see that the Bible says that it has a gate that is huge and it is one pearl. It's big and it's one pearl. The Bible says that it has streets of gold. There are streets of gold. So what does that tell me? It can be measured, there's gates, and it has streets. Sounds like, how many have ever seen a gate? How many have ever seen a street? Sounds like something that it's going to be beyond what we can imagine, but it's still something we understand. It's a city. Let's keep going. And then a lot of people think, we're not going to know anybody in heaven. And a lot of people teach that. They teach you're not going to know who people are. But the Bible doesn't say that. In Revelations 21:3, it says this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Oh, that's so good. This is what God has been looking for, and it will be in its fullness. Because it says, now the dwelling of God is with men. We're going to be returned with new heaven and new earth. We're going to be returned to a place of like the Garden of Eden, where God didn't just dwell in us, but now he will walk with us. It'll be where we'll be walking with God. Won't that be great? I mean, you look back and you read about the Garden of Eden, you think, man, Adam really had it made. He could walk in the cool of the day with God and just, you know, see his face. We're going to be dwelling with God in the city of heaven because it's a real place. And then another verse, Revelations 22, verse 2. He said, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So let's just look in this. Remember, heaven's a real place. It's a place where we're going to know each other. And it said on each side of the river, that shows me there's a river there. There's a tree there. There's crops of fruit are being yielding every month. How many know, what does that sound like? It sounds like seasons, doesn't it? It sounds like seasons. And it says, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You know what that word nation means? It means ethnic groups. That means that if you're white here, you're going to be white there. If you're Hispanic here, you're going to be Hispanic there. How many know we are different ethnic groups? And we're still going to be that the nations. That means ethnic groups. And so all of the ethnic groups, there's going to be Chinese people there. There's going to be there's going to be all kind of people there. But we're going to look like we look now. We're going to be able to recognize one another because we're going to look like us. And you know, everybody, I know a lot of people say they've been to heaven. And a lot of people I don't want to listen to that say they've been to heaven. But there's a few people that say they've been to heaven that I do want to listen to. One of them is Jesse Plants. I believe he really went to heaven. And he has such a vivid description of what heaven is from when he was caught up in heaven. And he talks about this. He talks about that it's a city, that it looks like here, but in a fullness that is beyond what we can imagine. But he said that we recognize one another and that we all look different. And that's right here in the Bible, that it's the nations, healing of the nations, and that word means ethnic groups. And then, you know, there's a book by John Brevere. It's an excellent book. It's called Driven for Eternity. And it reminds us that what is here, this life here on this earth, if you have a mindset of, Lord, just make it, you know, I just want to stay here. Just let me live my life. Of course, we want to live our lives and we want to do what God's called us to do. But what we're driven for is not for what's here on this earth. We need to be driven by, motivated by, moved by what is awaiting us in heaven. And that's one thing about old songs. Old songs that we used to sing, you know, when I used to sing when I was in a denominational church. We don't sing a lot of songs like this. We probably should. You know, where it's all about when we all get to heaven. Oh, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When the roll is called up yonder, right? I mean, these songs are all about heaven. All about heaven. And really, I believe that we as a people, we need to be more heaven-minded. Because when you're more heaven-minded, it helps you to want to put aside your wants a little bit for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
Because you know that, hey, I may do without this new purse now for the sake, because I want to give this money. And I'm not saying for you, I'm just saying, just an illustration, because I want to sow it into the gospel. Because you know that that's just that new thing or whatever that is, that's just a treasure here. And it's going to rot away. But the treasure we have in heaven is for eternity. It's for eternity. Be driven by eternity. To remind ourselves that heaven is real. That we're on our way there. It is our reward. It is our reward for living for Jesus here. And so that's just, it's a real good book about that. And so let's look at another one. Revelations 21, verse 4, talking about heaven. Some people, you know, you hear this a lot, you know, I don't know how am I going to be able to be there because my family member, you know, they didn't make it. And Revelations 21, 4 says this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so, you know what? However God's going to do it, he's going to do it. Or he's going to do a work so great on the inside of us that there will be tears shed because he says he's going to wipe them away. So tears will be shed, but as he wipes those tears away, he does a work in us. And it says here, it says, the old order of things has passed away. The way that we look at things now is going to be the old order, and it's going to be passed away. And it's going to be a new life, a new order, a new way of doing things with no death, no mourning, no tears, none of that. Because it's heaven. Heaven's a real place. Heaven is where we're going. Heaven has been prepared for us. Amen? And let's look at another one. Revelations 22, verse 12. It says this. Behold, I am coming soon. It's Jesus. He said, my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, you know, remember, we learned this. There's a great white throne of judgment, and the only question that is asked at the great white throne of judgment, that's what it talks about in Revelation 20. The only question that will be asked at that judgment, is do you know Jesus? What did you do with the salvation knowledge of Jesus? And let's all get ready for that test. The correct answer. How many know the best test is when you have the correct answers for, right? Before you get in there, wouldn't it be great? If it wasn't considered cheating, and somebody said, here's the answer. If Jesus gave you the answers, you know it wouldn't be considered cheating, right? Hey, you're going to have a test today, and here's the answer. Well, the answer is already right here.
Right.
The answer to the question is, I received him. I loved him. I made him my Savior. That's the answer to the question. And that's the only question that's going to be asked at the great white throne of judgment. And that's the one that every person is going to be standing at. But that's the answer to the question. How many already got the right answer? I got the right answer. I love him. I love him. And Jesus, but then, for the reward. That's for our ticket in and for our power here. But then Jesus says, he says, I will give to everyone according to what he has done. How many want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Everybody wants to hear that. But here's the thing. You know, I say this all the time. In order to hear well done, you got to do something. Right? And if you want to hear thy good and faithful servant, then you better be good, be faithful, and be a servant. Because, you know, it's human nature to want everybody to serve us. But Jesus himself said, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of God, who stepped out of heaven, who stepped out of deity for us, he made himself a servant. He washed the feet of disciples. He loved people. Why? Because he said he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And he left that example for us. We're not here to get something from everybody. We're here to give something to everybody. To give people what God has given us. Life and joy and peace. Right? And the knowledge of Jesus. And so if we want, when we stand before this judgment, and this is where the crowns, how many have heard of the crowns in heaven? The crowns in heaven, the jewels in their crowns. And you know, and we will come back here and we will rule and reign with Jesus on this earth. And you know, there's going to be a whole bunch of people in charge and we're going to be like going, who is that? And it's going to be some grandma that nobody knew their name. But they prayed, and they were faithful, and they served God with their whole heart, and they gave. Those are the people that are going to be having crowns that are bigger than their heads. And we're going to be like, man, who are those people? They're not, sometimes it's only going to be the well-known people. Yeah, sure, they're going to get crowns too. But I tell you, there's going to be a lot of people with big, giant crowns, and we'll never even know their names. But they are soldiers, and they are faithful, and they are serving in the kingdom of God. And they're going to stand before the throne, and they're going to hear, well done. You are a good and faithful servant. Amen? We want to hear that too, right? We want to hear that too. We don't work here. We don't do works. We're not saved by works. We don't do works to get saved. We do works for God. We work for God because we are saved. Amen. We don't try to be good to get saved, because you can't be good enough to be saved. We try to live a holy, sanctified life because we are saved. Amen. What we do here, how you serve the Lord, how you walk out the plan, the destiny, the call that God has on your life. And listen, you may not like this, but we don't always like truth. But truth is still truth, whether you like it or not, right? How many of you ever wanted to say that to somebody? You know, they're just like, their head's all up in the clouds. You're just like, let me shake you into reality a little bit. But here's the truth. What we do here, how we live our lives here, that determines our rewards in heaven.
Amen.
It determines that. Now, heaven's going to be great for everybody. And there's no mourning, no death, and the old order of things is going to be gone. So there's not going to be any, hey, that should be mine. That's going to be gone. That part of us, we're going to leave that part of us here. Somebody say, thank Amen. God, Amen. Right?
God.
Thank God. But there is, it says the old order of things is gone. That tells me there's a new order. There's a new order. And God says, the Bible says that God does everything decently and in order. There's a ranking system in heaven. There's a ranking system. And that's just how it is. Because things are done in order. And so we don't do it to get saved. We're already on our way to heaven if you've accepted Jesus. You're going to stand before that great white throne of judgment, and he just wants to know if your name's in that book. And thank God our names are in that book. But see, he motivates us still to do his will on this earth, because there's a reward for us in heaven. Amen? All right, let's keep going. So heaven is let's look at here. Heaven's a real place. And I encourage you to read about heaven and the description of it, and just get a mindset. This is a real place. This isn't a made-up fairy tale. It's not a bunch of clouds. There's not a smoke machine and a fog machine. You know, that's not it. It's a real place, and it can be measured. And heaven is where we're going to dwell with God. We're going to dwell with him. He says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Where the nation, the ethnic groups are still going to be in heaven. There are seasons in heaven. There is seed time and harvest in heaven. There is crops growing in heaven. There are months in heaven, because it said the 12 months. And then we learned that heaven is going to be just the place where every tear is wiped from our eyes. There's not going to be any more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things, the Bible says, has passed away. We're going to live a completely different new way in our spirit beings. And then we know the heavens is a place where rewards come, because Jesus said, I'm coming again, my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone. It's not where everybody on the team gets a first place trophy. He says, I will give to everyone according to what he has done. What he has done. I read an article the other day about a school that no longer gives failing grades. I was like, how is that even possible? Nobody fails in this school. Now, here's the thing. People are still failing. They're just calling it something different. Because if you don't know the information and you can't pass the test, what is that?
Failing.
You failed. And so you can call it something else if you want. But it's still, you don't have the information that you need, right? You know, and so we've kind of are moving into a time where nobody wants truth anymore. You know, it's hard to say, hey, you didn't pass, you failed. That's hard to say. But isn't it more damaging to just keep progressing somebody when they don't have the information they need for where they're going? Isn't that more dangerous? And so God's not like that. God says, I'm gonna give to everyone according to what he has done. You don't get a trophy just for showing up. You got to do something. You got to do something. Amen? Let's keep going. So now that we know that heaven is real, heaven is a great place, it can be measured, we know all this, what are we supposed to do while we're still here? We're on our way. How many are on your way? I'm on my way to heaven. We should all sing one of those old songs. But what am I supposed to do? Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 13. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. What am I supposed to do while I'm still here? Because how many are still here? Look at your neighbor and say, you're still here. Believe it or not, this is not, you know, there is a whole doctrine, there is a whole group of people that are saying that this is heaven. I'm like, where do you live, right? What news are you watching? That's just, people just say, sometimes people just say the craziest things. You're just like, don't you want to look at people sometimes and just be like, what is wrong with you? Right? What is wrong with you? There's no way this is heaven. For one, I have never seen a street of gold. Anybody else? No. God has not walked up to me in person lately. That has not happened. This is not heaven. I just think whoever is, these people, it's like a whole doctrine. These people get people to believe stuff that does not line up with the word of God. This is not heaven. Amen. We're going there. Amen. We're going there. But until then, Titus chapter 2, verse number 13, it says, while we wait, and that's what we're doing, we're waiting. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. While we wait. There are things that we're to do while we wait. And here we go. Number one thing we're going to do. We find it in Matthew 6, 19 and 20. And it says this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. And basically what this verse is, it's not bad to have things. It's bad for things to have you. When things become more important than our treasures in heaven and where we're heading, that's when we're in trouble. Things are not bad. Our attitude toward things can make it bad. And so this is saying, listen, while you're here, don't store up stuff where moth and rust are going to destroy it and thieves are going to break in. But make sure you're storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do we store treasures in heaven? Every act of obedience to the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, you're storing up treasure in heaven. Every act of obedience, you're storing up treasure in heaven. That's how you do it. Let's keep going here. And then, so what am I supposed to do? I need to make sure that I'm focused on the right things. And so, until I get to heaven, while I wait, according to Titus, while I'm waiting, I want to make sure that my focus is on the right thing. I want to be driven for eternity, like John Bevere said. Driven for eternity. When is the last time we stopped and looked at our actions and said, how will my actions affect eternity? Eternity. When we're sitting and we're doing and we're making choices, you know, we think like, how's this going to affect tomorrow? How's this going to affect next week? But really, the Bible's telling me, listen, I need to be mindful of storing up treasures in heaven. How are my actions today, my choices today, how are they affecting eternity? Because how many know that's a whole lot longer than the years we've got left here on earth? What I do now is going to affect much more than my retirement. You know, a lot of times people are very focused on retirement, and that's fine. But you know what? Your retirement, that's only going to last what, 10, 20, 10, 15 years? We spend so much time planning our retirement, we don't even think about planning our eternity. What do you got stored up, right? We need to ask ourselves, how am I doing up there? What do I got stored up there? And then one of the most important things we need to do, Revelation 22:17 says this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Oh, so good. And then Jude 1, we don't hardly ever read Jude, but here we go. Jude 1, 22 and 23, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them to others show mercy. While I'm waiting, what am I supposed to be doing? I need to make sure my focus is right. I need to make sure I'm reaching people. Reaching people. There's only one thing we can take to heaven with us. You know what it is? People. That's it, people. There's one thing that God is most concerned about is how we treat people. And you know, how many know somebody that needs Jesus? How many can turn on the news and see a world that needs Jesus? We looked at the statistics our very first week in this series about the decline of godliness in society. And oh man, you can see it so strong. You know what? That's only going to get worse. And that's why God needs us. Until then, while we wait, we need to be reaching people. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Invited somebody to church? Some people are like, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Just invite them to church. Amen. You know what a testimony is? The Bible says that it's by the word of their testimony. You know what people want to hear? They don't want to hear a bunch of Bible verses. They don't want to hear all the wrong things that they've done. People don't want to hear that. They've heard that. You know what people want to hear? They want to hear what God has done in your life. What did God do in your life? We are saved by the word of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. You know what draws people to Jesus? When you tell him what he's done in your life. When you tell him how you were once broken, but now you're healed. When you tell him that even though you're not perfect and you still struggle, but you feel and you know the presence of God is there with you. That's what people are looking for. They don't need another Bible verse. That comes later. What they need when they don't know Jesus is they need to hear that he is real and that he really works in people's lives. It's not something fake on television, but it is real. And if they know you, when you share your testimony, they'll know it's real. That's what people need to hear. So often, oh, I got somebody, I need to tell them about Jesus. Just tell them what God has done in your life. Share your victory. Share your story of overcoming. Share your story of being lost, but now you're found. Share your story. That's what brings people into the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what does it. We need to be reaching people. And then last verse here. This is what we're, while we wait, Titus says, while we wait. In 2 Peter 3:13 and 14, let's read this. It says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, how many are looking forward to it? This is Peter writing. He says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. While we wait, let's make sure our focus is right while we wait. While we wait, let's make sure we're reaching people. And Peter tells us that while we're looking forward to going to heaven, let's make every effort to live a holy life. Let's make every effort to have our relationship with God be strong and solid. You know, but the enemy is all, you know, the enemy's number one job is to pull you out of your relationship with God. That's his focus. That's his job. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to steal your testimony. He wants to steal your victory. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal the power of the Word of God in you. That's his job. And let me tell you something. He is good at it. He is a good, bad devil. He is very good at what he does. And he pulls and he distracts and he causes you to question and he brings bad company into your presence. And next thing you know, you're like, what happened? I was so on fire for God. What happened? You got to make every effort. Every effort. And it takes every effort. You can't miss church. Church is like a plug. You come to church, you get plugged in. You get filled up. You see people that are struggling and going through things just like you. So that poor me on Tuesday that say, nobody understands. No, you just saw a whole group of people on Sunday and they understand that it's hard to be a Christian in this world. You just saw a whole group of people. And so then on Tuesday, when you're all in the pit, oh, nobody understands. The Holy Ghost is going to say, oh, doesn't so-and-so understand? Doesn't so-and-so understand? Don't you have a whole group of people, of believers, of family, of people who speak truth to give you strength? Oh, yeah, that's right. And thank God Wednesday's coming. You're going to get another boost. You know why? Because we leak. We get filled up with the Word. We get filled up with the power of God. But the Bible says to be being filled. We are never to stop being filled with the Word and the presence. Never. You know why? We leak. How many have ever leaked? How many have ever been in a service and you're like, whoo, God is so good. I feel the power of God. I'm on cloud. You feel like you're one of them fat babies on cloud nine. You're just floating. Just everything is so good. And then come Tuesday, you're just like, hope I make it to Wednesday. What happened? You leaked. That's why the Bible says to be. In the Greek, it's a continual. It means it never stops. Be being filled. You got to be filled. But keep getting filled up with the Word, by praying in the Spirit, by coming to church. You can't make it without. You want to know why you feel down, why you feel blue, why you feel like you're disconnected? Because when's the last time you prayed in the Spirit? When's the last time you read the Bible? When's the last time you shut the TV and you got in your closet and said, Lord, fill me up. I need filled up. Lord, help me with so-and-so because they're really on my last nerve. Right? Help me with that, Lord. Lord, I repent. I repent for getting out of shape with so-and-so because they were on my last nerve. I repent for that. The Bible says that times of refreshing, when we repent, there are rivers of refreshing that come. Never forget the power of repenting. Where you just say, Lord, this is what happened. This is what I did. I repent for it. And I thank you that you forgive me. Because there's rivers, the Bible says, rivers of refreshing that come. And so Peter writes here, he says, make every effort. He says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, talking about Jesus coming, make every effort. You know why we got to make every effort? Because the devil's making every effort to steal you, to snatch you away, to get you out. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship together, the assembly together. It says, as is the habit of some. And then it says, especially as you see the day approaching. The devil knows we need each other. We're not designed to live life alone. We need each other. We need somebody to look us in the eye and say, I'm praying for you and mean it. Let me tell you something. Thinking about somebody and praying for somebody, those are two totally different things. You can think about somebody all you want. There's no power in that. There's power in praying for somebody. And that's what church people do. We pray for each other. We lift each other. We stand with each other. We're together until Jesus comes. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say you don't need what church brings you. You don't need what the Word of God. Don't say, oh, I know that. I don't need to hear that. We need it. Peter says, make every effort. What am I supposed to be doing until Jesus comes? Make sure my priorities are right. make sure I'm reaching people, and make every effort to live a spotless, blameless, holy life. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that you are coming soon. We believe that. But Lord, until then, like Titus said, until then, while we wait, we just ask you, Lord, to help us. Help us keep our priorities straight. Help us not be so earthly minded that we forget to store up treasures in heaven. Help us not be so distracted by the things of this world that we lose our joy for you. Oh, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us. Lord, help us to reach the lost, to reach those who don't know you. Help us to minister to the hurting, those who have been hurt by religion and by church. Help us to reach them with a message of love and mercy. Lord, help us to be the witness you called us to be. Give us boldness to share our testimony, to tell others what you have done in our lives. And lastly, Lord, we just ask for help as we make every effort to live life on this earth the way you've called us to. Lord, if there are things that we need to lay down, like Paul said, he said, let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets us, so that we may run the race. Lord, if there's things we need to lay down, we just ask for help in knowing what they are and strength to lay them down. Because, Lord, while we wait, we want our focus to be on you and what's important to you. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And before we go, I believe everyone raised their hand when we said who's on their way to heaven. But let's just make sure we're all on the same page. We're all on the same boat. We're all heading in the same direction. We're heading towards heaven, towards Jesus. Let's not let anything distract us from heading towards him. Let's let him be our focus, where we want to be. He's with him. So if you're here today with nobody looking around, just out of respect for people, and you say, you know what, Pastor Peggy, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Son of God, that he came, he died, and he rose again, all for me. I know that. And I know that the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you, and you say, I already know that, I want you to raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. Raise your hand up. I know some of you are saved, you're not raising your hand. You know, you may have to raise your hand to get into heaven. What are you going to do then? Just going to stay here? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You put your hand down. But maybe there's some people here and you say, you know what? I know that. But I feel like I'm so far from him. I feel like I've walked 1,000 steps away. I got good news for you. He's always one step back. God is always there, always waiting for you to just turn back and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So maybe you have gotten away from him. Maybe you haven't been spending time with him, and he hasn't been a priority in your life. But you can change all that right now today by just saying, Lord, I know I've walked 1,000 steps away from you, but today I'm taking one step back. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to refocus. I want a fresh start. If that's you, you say, I want a fresh start with God. I just want to start over and get things right again. If that's you, just raise up your hand. Big and tall, be confident, and say, that's me. Father, I pray for every person here that you would just strengthen us, help us, empower us as we live life here on this earth. Jesus' name. Y'all say amen. Amen. Ain't that good? Aren't you glad you're on your way to heaven? Amen. Okay, I'm glad. Be like my friend did. Ooh, let's get ready. Let's get ready, right? He's coming back. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive a supernatural offering here. We do that every Sunday.